For news, here is one of the most listened to broadcasts in all radio, News Around the World with Art Van Horn. News in a moment. First, this message.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101. Now, here's Art Van Horn.
And a good morning to you from the ABC Newsroom in New York. American B-52 bombers today dropped 150,000 pounds of bombs on enemy positions in the demilitarized zone of Vietnam. And the B-52s have been hitting Viet Cong supply routes in other areas. ABC's Ed Needham reports from Saigon.
Military spokesman announced here in Saigon today that on the 30th of November, the big B-52 bombers made an early morning strike in the A Sha Valley. This is one of the main transshipment points for the movement south of enemy supplies and equipment. There haven't been intense raids in the area since mid-July, when intelligence reports indicated a heavy North Vietnamese buildup of men and supplies. At that time, the raids were daily affairs, and sometimes included as many as three separate attacks in a 24-hour period. Ed Needham, ABC, Saigon.
In air action, U.S. helicopters sank 57 sampans in the Mekong Delta yesterday. A U.S. spokesman says 19 Viet Cong were killed in the action 60 miles southwest of Saigon. President Chu of South Vietnam says that South Vietnamese forces should cross into Cambodia after Viet Cong troops should chase the enemy into Cambodia. Chu says the Viet Cong have many bases there. Chu stressed that the South Vietnamese should not open up an offensive in Cambodia. The foreign ministers of France and Japan say there's an urgent need for peace in Vietnam. The appeal was made in a joint communique in Paris following meetings between Couve de Mourville and Takeo Miki. Secretary of State Dean Rusk arrives here in New York later this morning. Rusk will be in New York for a speech for the Italian-American Labor Council. But Rusk is expected to meet with Secretary General U Thant at the United Nations. Rusk and Thant are expected to discuss the Cyprus problem and the Vietnam War. In Nicosia, Cyrus Vance continues his efforts to get President Makarios to agree on a settlement. ABC's John Cooley reports from Ankara.
News of President Makarios' opposition to the Greek-Turkish peace understanding on Cyprus appears to have caught the Turkish government by surprise. I was chatting with an official of the Turkish Foreign Ministry in his office here in Ankara about an interview with the foreign minister when he was handed a message. It concerned the new attempts in Nicosia of Cyrus Vance, President Johnson's peacemaker, to persuade Makarios not to block agreement anymore. The Turkish official then told me that the foreign minister was in urgent consultations and could see no news then. Here in Ankara, many people feel that if there is no agreement with Makarios by nightfall, Turkey will have to prepare again for possible war. John Cooley, ABC, Ankara.
Governor John Connally of Texas, now in France. Governor Connally says...
These rumors inevitably originate, stemming from two facts... First, that I previously served as Secretary of the Navy of the United States, and secondly, from the fact that I have been a very close friend of President Johnson's for 30 years. But I assure you I'm not a candidate for the office of Secretary of Defense, and I don't know of anyone that is a candidate.
This about replacing McNamara as Secretary of Defense, Governor John Connally of Texas. That's the latest from Paris on News Around the World. The government of Thailand is placing 10 villages under martial law. The Thai government is trying to stop communist terrorists in the villages near Bangkok. At least 20 people have been killed in demonstrations in Thailand in the past few months. In Central Java, rescue workers have found 22 more bodies from that dam that burst. At least 160 people have been killed in Central Java in the accident. The unfinished dam burst after heavy rains early this week. Communist China charged that the United States today was attacking a Chinese freighter in North Vietnam. China says the alleged attack took place a week ago. Communist China says 8 crewmen were wounded in the alleged air attack. American officials in Saigon cannot recall planes hitting the area at that time. Negotiations resume later today in that teachers' strike in Scranton, Pennsylvania. The teachers' strike shut down all of the Scranton schools yesterday. Scranton teachers, of course, want more money. This is News Around the World.
Back to Art Van Horn after we pause for station identification. In a moment, we'll hear direct reports from Charleston, West Virginia, Washington, Saigon, Copenhagen, Miami, and San Francisco as News Around the World continues.
Russia today officially recognized the new nation of South Yemen. Russia offered to establish diplomatic relations with South Yemen. News Around the World, Art Van Horn in the ABC newsroom in New York. In Los Angeles last night, Pierre Salinger talked about the political lineup for 1968. Salinger, a former White House news secretary, was asked who might be the leading Republican candidate for 1968. Salinger said,
"My hunch tells me Rockefeller will be the candidate. My political instincts tell me Nixon should be. My hunch tells me Rockefeller will be, and I think Rockefeller is the toughest man that Johnson would have to face."
Then Pierre Salinger talked about a Democratic challenger.
Senator McCarthy is going to get quite a significant amount of votes in the primaries that he runs in. But I don't think that he will prevent President Johnson from being the candidate of the Democratic Party.
Pierre Salinger, the former White House news secretary to the late President John F. Kennedy. A different view of the political outlook for next year is held by John Bailey, the Democratic national chairman in Charleston, West Virginia, yesterday. Bailey made this prediction.
The Democratic Party over the years have had disagreements, but when the time comes and the decision has to be made between Republicans and Democrats, there is no choice, and they will support the Democratic nominee at the convention.
John Bailey, the national chairman of the Democratic Party, a man who has consistently denied that he is a candidate for the Republican nomination, spoke in Washington yesterday. Governor Nelson Rockefeller refused to make a definite prediction. At a news conference, Governor Rockefeller said this.
I think that anybody's beatable.
Well,
but there's an awful lot can happen between now and 68, so that I think that anyone who counts their chickens at this point in terms of votes in 68 is premature, and that it would be completely unrealistic to try and make any really firm prediction.
Governor Nelson Rockefeller of New York also said he thinks Governor Romney of Michigan is going to do surprisingly well in the primaries. No decision yet in Washington, Saigon, or Hanoi on whether there'll be a holiday truce. In Saigon, the American commander in South Vietnam, General William Westmoreland, looks at the prospect this way.
As to any stand-downs or so-called ceasefires, it's a political matter, and I do not know what decision will be made in that regard. From a military viewpoint, I'm not enthusiastic about any stand-out.
General William Westmoreland. In Copenhagen yesterday, that so-called war crimes tribunal has found the United States guilty. Lord Bertrand Russell heads the tribunal which convicted the U.S. of genocide. Stokely Carmichael was a member of that tribunal. Carmichael said,
"The Vietnamese are not our enemies. They are, in fact, our brothers. Beyond that, they are our comrades in arms. It is crystal clear that the Vietnamese and black people in the United States are in the same boat. We are both fighting to save our race."
Stokely Carmichael in Copenhagen. He now says he's heading back to America after a 40,000-mile world tour. North Vietnamese troops renewed mortar and rocket fire on U.S. troops at Dak Tho last night. The Americans fought back with artillery and mortars. ABC's Bill Brannigan was at Dak Tho recently. Brannigan describes how the Vietnamese and North Vietnamese have changed tactics.
They've got heavier mortars, they've got rockets, they've got long-range and intermediate-range field rockets, and it's become much more of a bunker war, it's become much more of a shrapnel war, and this was one of the many impressions that struck me while we were up at Dak Tho. It holds true in along the DMZ, and it has been true of the recent big incursions near the Cambodian border just north of Saigon.
ABC's Bill Brannigan. That's the latest on the war from Saigon on News Around the World. The nuclear age is 25 years old today. It was on December 2nd, 1942, at a squash court under the stands of Stagg Field in Chicago that the United States entered the nuclear age. An Italian scientist, Enrico Fermi, headed the 42-man science team that worked on the first self-sustaining chain reaction that put the United States in the nuclear age. A new energy had been created. That energy would eventually light homes, power ships, and give man the ability to destroy the world. 42 scientists at Stagg Field gathered around the world's first atomic reactor. It was square at the bottom, flat on top, and looked like a glorified barbecue pit. At exactly 3:36 this afternoon in Chicago, ceremonies will mark the moment that Enrico Fermi said the reaction is self-sustaining. Fermi's widow, 28 scientists, and by satellite, Presidents Johnson of the U.S. and Saragat of Italy will take part in the ceremonies. As one scientist, Dr. Alvin Weinberg, head of Oak Ridge, said, the last 25 years have been only a beginning. One of the nation's 10 most wanted criminals has been arrested by the FBI. John Slayton was arrested without a struggle near Phoenix, Arizona. An FBI spokesman in Phoenix told ABC,
we had information that he might possibly be at this camp, and we went there, and he was. He admitted his identity right away. He was unarmed. He was taken into custody.
An FBI spokesman in Phoenix describing the arrest of John Slayton, wanted for interstate flight to avoid prosecution. Slayton is accused of being in a gunfight with police in Oroville, Washington, October 30th, 1965. Apparently, there will be no tax increase this year. Steel prices are going up, and strikes have plagued many of the major businesses in the country. How are the smaller firms doing? Robert Moot of the Small Business Administration told a Los Angeles news conference,
small business is faring better these days than large businesses in terms of studies that we've made over the past 6 years. The profit rate increase of small business each year is almost double that of all U.S. firms. The sales growth of small firms is better than all U.S. firms. The net worth growth is better than all U.S. firms, as is the total asset picture.
Robert Moot of the Small Business Administration. In Miami, Francis Shank, the incoming president of the Investment Bankers of America, had a comment on the economy. Francis Shank told ABC's Ted Koppel,
irrespective of any action of the British in devaluing the pound, we would either have to drastically curtail our governmental spending and or increase taxes, because we can't continually spend more money than we take in and maintain a sound economy in the country.
Francis Shank, incoming president of the Investment Bankers of America. The Army has lost a skirmish. Private First Class Joseph Smith was sent home 18 months ago to await orders. Orders he never got at his home in Brownsville, California. Last night, an Army spokesman in San Francisco told ABC,
the decision has been made to release Private First Class Joe A. Smith from active duty as soon as he can be processed. And very likely it would be completed by early next week.
An Army spokesman. A similar situation confronts Fred Liesenmeyer of Denver. In 1918, he enlisted in the Navy. Liesenmeyer was sent home to wait for orders. He was never called. Liesenmeyer told ABC,
I have never received a cent. The only thing I would like to have would be an honorable discharge.
Fred Liesenmeyer, who has waited and waited since 1918. Sunny and dry weather is predicted today from the southeast to the northern plains and across much of the east. Rain is likely in the Pacific Northwest. Showers and thundershowers can be expected from the Texas Gulf Coast to the lower Great Lakes. Snow, or snow mixed with rain, that's expected from the east central plains to the upper Midwest. It'll be warmer in the southeast and the Rockies, but cooler in the central and southern plains. And that's the latest on the weather on news around the world. In Cleveland, thousands of residents of the Huff area are still without heat this morning. A water main broke early Friday in Cleveland. The break forced all gas service to be cut off. Police say about 5,000 homes are without heat in the Huff area of Cleveland. Chrysler is calling back 8,200 models of its 1968 cars. Chrysler says there are possible built-in mechanical problems in some of the models. The head of the Atomic Energy Commission called today for a non-proliferation treaty to prevent more countries from using nuclear weapons. Dr. Glenn Seaborg made the appeal on the 25th anniversary of the U.S. entry into the nuclear age. More minor earthquakes reported along the border between Albania and Yugoslavia today. An unconfirmed report says as many as 120 Albanians may have been killed in the first earthquake that hit on Thursday. The South Vietnamese cabinet is refusing to accept the resignation of General Nguyen Nhuc Loan. Loan is the national police chief in South Vietnam. Meanwhile, the U.S. embassy denies that Loan resigned under U.S. pressure. That's it on News Around the World. Writers this week, Bert Friedman, Mel Ligon, and Dick Hamilton. This is Art Van Horn, ABC New York. Have a salubrious Saturday.
Network Radio's largest news staff keeps you informed. On the ABC Radio Network.